You are so welcome to Open Arms, and today we have the honour of having Stewie Wilson with us. Stewie, thanks for being with us today.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, Stewie is a behavioural psychologist who specialises with youth, adolescents and family therapy. And he's also the founder of Zest Life Counselling, which has 30 counsellors in two locations, and is also the co-founder of Zest Life College, training up counsellors from a Christian ethos and Christian perspective, and is doing both in-person and online right throughout Dublin and Ireland, and also married to Maggie, the wonderful Maggie. And you guys have been with us in Dublin, yeah. Open Arms Dublin, from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
And with your whole family. And we're so grateful to have you with us. And today we're having a conversation around mental health. And the title is How to Stay Mental. Not how to stay mental. How to stay mentally healthy in a crazy world and in a mental world. And like most people, I've personally battled mentally in this season, which some of the strongest people I know have also. And so today we really want to start off this year as best as we can, equipping ourselves practically, spiritually, and mentally and emotionally to be able to withstand anything that we may face and go through all of the unexpected things that we may go through in this year. And Stewie's going to help us with that, and especially as Christians, from a biblical perspective. So, Stewie, just to start off, would you just share a little bit about, you know, your line of work, what you're involved in and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose to probably the start for me is to say in some ways where this all came about and why did you get into doing this, and what was this? Nobody could be in this position that I'm in right now having planned to get here, because this wasn't what I planned to do in my life. God just had different ideas. I think in many ways, and when God gives you a heart to connect with people, it just changes things for you. And certainly for me and my journey, a part of that was probably going through times in my own life from a mental health perspective where you're questioning things, where you're wondering, what do I want to do with my life, you know? I think if anybody's watching this that knew me before the age of 30, now is probably a good time to apologize because my life before that was chaotic in many ways. And in some ways, looking in, it was probably successful in certain aspects, or some people might have thought I had it all together, but it was probably chaotic, if I'm being really honest.
Yeah.
And in many ways, the questioning for me led to really searching, but trying to find what is it that God has for me. If this is God's plan for my life, it doesn't feel great. What's God really got for me? You know. And I think a part of that was just my own discovery of struggling in mental health, having difficulties and just having downtimes, thinking, right, what is it that I want to do with my life, you know? And if all that we hear is real, I grew up in a Church of Ireland background with, you know, going to Sunday school and having all those times and knowing the Bible and understanding that God existed. But if it's really all true, really true, what choices would I make? If it really was personal for me, where would I go with that? And for me, that led me into a lot of questions, which God can only answer personally in our own hearts. And it came to a point with me where a conscious decision to say, this is true. And if this is true, I'm going to commit to it with all my heart.
Right.
And that led down the journey of, if that's true and this all is real, how would I live my life differently? And the answers to all those questions became yes, 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 and yes. And that led me into just helping people in different areas in my life that were voluntary, that were leading into charity work and things like that, which is where I met Maggie. And I was speaking at an event and met this, we were actually set up by another one of your congregation. To be in a room together at the same time. And God is incredible, because 4 months later we were married. So it led into a world of, if this is absolutely what I believe in with my full heart, then what am I going to do with this? And I don't think you ever come back from that perspective in a good way. It leads to something phenomenal, and God's so good, because it led into, what do I want to do with my life? And that led into just going down the road of into the therapeutic area and seeing how we could help people. And it led to Zest Life, it led to Zest for Kids from a charitable perspective, and God's been good ever since, and it's led to a clatter of kids and a house that's full and noisy. So for everyone back home, I know how you're feeling.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that, love your story, love your heart. and that really shines through. And you know, this past year has been a difficult year for many people.
Yeah.
2020, none of us had experienced a pandemic, let alone a lockdown, only for a few snowstorms coming through the beast from the east. And it caused us all just to struggle emotionally, physically, putting on a few extra kgs, but in particular mentally. And I remember speaking to you back in April during the first lockdown. And you said to me that this was the earthquake and we were about to experience a tsunami down the road. And I think that in recent months, we've seen the beginning of that. We've seen the fruits of this tsunami of just mental health problems in our own lives, in our communities, and in our nation.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask you some questions around that. Is what are you seeing right now in your work and in your surroundings happening in people's lives and minds today? And what's causing that? What are some of the things you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, it's actually interesting looking back then, thinking, you know, that was in April or so last year, and you know, tsunami hit. I actually don't believe it's fully hit, if I'm being really honest with you. I think we're starting to see the ripples, and I don't think it's hit us yet. We are seeing lots of difficulties. People are having tremendous problems. We're seeing it at all different age groups, Sean. So from younger kids, in our own practices, we would work a lot with families. So from young kids right the way through to adolescents and into kind of, you know, 18 to 24 year old groups, they're all having difficult times, but different difficult times.
Yeah.
And then into all age groups, everyone's suffering. This is difficult for everybody. This, if you think about it, if anyone had said to us, social distancing, social disconnect would
stay
be a part of our world, we'd have said, forget it, particularly for an Irish context. We're very much socially connected. Even the words around that, I think probably talked about that before, I've great difficulty with. You know, physical distancing, sure, I get it. We've got to be careful. We've got to be wise in how we do life right now. But social connection now, more than ever, is extremely important. So different age groups are having different difficulties. In the younger people, we're seeing significant issues in certain parts of the academic world. For instance, first years in school, we're seeing significant problems because it's starting school with masks in a new environment, trying to fit in, trying to connect. How do you do that with masks on? Then you have a bumpy ride because obviously you're, you know, starting in school is difficult. We're seeing difficulties in transition year students because it's not transition year. Transition year is a year where you connect and do external things. You go on hikes, you have, you know, different types of adventures, you do work placements. Not happening. Oh, yeah, so transition year has been really difficult for folk in transition year. And then sixth year in school, of course. I mean, my heart currently bleeds for our 6 years, our 5th years and 6th years, but particularly our 6 years right now, in that there's such uncertainty for them.
Yeah.
And uncertainty produces anxiety. So for these young people who are going through this, my heart is broken for them. And again, we're seeing that in young adults into first year in college, which is everyone says that when you leave school and go to college, it's like the beginning of something tremendous. How difficult is it to do that for them online, you know? Really, really hard. So all age groups, parenting, you know, really difficult in these times for families as well. And we're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of parents really, really weary, Sean, if I'm being honest with you. And look, in every household, that's the case, you know? And a lot of older folk who are struggling, who are just lonely, really finding it, this isolation is difficult. Family and young people and grandchildren, stuff, not being able to get to them. And I've heard so many stories of older folk who've just struggled with that isolation and loneliness in their hearts. That's really difficult.
Yeah. Very difficult, yeah. Yeah, and like you say, uncertainty breeds anxiety, and that's in all of us, regardless
for
of our season in life, isn't it?
Yeah,
and so, you know, with Zest Life, and, you know, we've been able to kind of work together a little bit, and some of our congregation have been able to use your counselling facilities, and you're not just a counsellor, you're a Christian counsellor with a Christian ethos. And you and your counsellors stand out from the rest because of just a genuine love and care for people. And that really stems from a knowledge of God's word and a love for others. And I think that for us as Christians, and we're having a conversation here, of course, with people who might be, you know, exploring faith and seeing what it's all about. But those of us who know God's word, how would you encourage Christians who... all those areas and seasons of life that you just described. But for us, we have got the life-giving word of God.
For sure.
We have got the power of the Holy Spirit. We have got the presence of Jesus with us. How would you encourage someone to be equipped mentally from a biblical perspective?
I think it's really difficult, even as believers, even as Christians. You know, it's difficult for anybody at the moment in the situation we find ourselves in. One of the greatest reliefs for me at the beginning, probably in March, April time, at the beginning of this, was to connect with a Christian, a pastor, a friend of mine who I knew, who was also a therapist, and we ended up having a conversation. And it was the early stages of lockdown, and I remember just feeling horrible. Horrible. That's the only way to describe it. And I was out of routine. I'm not great out of routine, so I was struggling with that. I was grumpy at home. Kids were getting grumpy dad, and Maggie was getting grumpy husband. And a part of it for me was to see, I made a phone call, had a conversation with this guy, and it was actually so refreshing, because, you know, as believers, we think, gosh, we're going to have it all together. Yeah, we have everything to give. Yeah. We can make this happen. We know what to do. And I wasn't feeling that way, if I'm being really honest with you. So I rang my pal and said, you know, I feel horrible and whatever. And everyone around me, I don't know, maybe I was just spending too much time online at the time, but everyone around me was doing inspirational stuff, you know? Everyone was picking up second languages and learning how to bake. And and I just felt like an absolute failure. I was like, you know, I'm working within this field in mental health and I'm doing nothing inspirational. In fact, I'm finding it hard to get out of bed.
Yeah,
that's the truth. And had this conversation with my pal, and it was so freeing, because at the end of the conversation he more or less sort of said it to me this way. He said, Stewie, I'm giving you permission to not be brilliant.
That's great. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that sounds quite bizarre, but actually it was just so freeing, because I just kept thinking, I should be doing something.
Yeah.
I should be. There's a need here. And there was a need, but I wasn't in that place. And it just took time for me to come back to, again, just my own heart, search my own heart to, what am I doing here? A little bit of survival first, a little bit of TLC, a little bit of self-care. And some of that for me was just getting out and walking, getting out and getting active, getting out and phoning and connecting with people. And I walked and talked on the phone for quite a lot, for a few days perhaps, with different people I hadn't spoken to in a while, just connecting. And that social aspect, which I felt was really important for me. And that got me back, Sean. And that started to get, you know, if you like to look upon it from a Christian perspective, God in me being able to do the work that I needed to do so that I could overflow. I love in Psalm 23, when we talk about my cup overflows, it's from the overflow, but I've got to be full. If I'm not full, I'm now depleted, and I'm giving that to whoever I contact or connect with. If I'm full, then I can actually operate out of that space of being full. And that was really important to me. So for anybody watching this that feels like, you know, just because we're believers doesn't mean we've got it going on and we actually feel complete and full, I think that's okay. It's really okay. We've all got permission to just survive right now and help each other, look out for each other, you know?
Yeah, I feel the same way. And the way I would describe myself at times and others is weary.
And
just keep coming back to that very simple scripture that we all know is, as Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary. And we have a well of life we're trying to always pull out of and be the best, you know, in our career or as a husband or a father or whatever aspect of it is of it. And we need to keep coming back to the well of life, which is Jesus.
Absolutely. You know? I was speaking at a seminar recently online, and the topic came up of somebody being lonely, and it was a 94-year-old lady talking about this, and it was so inspirational. But she said this to me. She said that she had just felt so lonely. I thought there was a question coming as, you know, how can I feel less lonely? But she answered it, which was beautiful. I learned so much from her. And she said that she had felt so incredibly lonely and isolated during, this was probably in around April time or so. And she made a decision, and I was like, oh, okay, what did she do? She couldn't have family come for difficult reasons, and they weren't able to get to her. And because she felt so isolated and lonely, she decided to do something about it herself. 94 years of age on a frame, okay? Right. And she made a decision that she'd bake a cake. And she baked the cake, and she travelled around her neighbours, and she delivered slices of cake to her neighbours at 94 years of age, okay? Right. And she said this to me, and it hit my head first and then really resonated in my heart when she said it this way. She just said, I learned something incredible about myself. And I'm thinking, this is a 94-year-old woman who's speaking to me in such an incredible heart. She said, I learned something from myself because I realised loneliness doesn't stop when you arrive at someone's door with a cake and they embrace you and they thank you and they are delighted to see you. Mm. She said, loneliness stopped when I thought about the ingredients of the cake. And I went, what do you mean about that? She said, as soon as I started thinking about who I was reaching out to, my loneliness disappeared. And it brought me to that scripture verse, as a man is as he thinks, not as he says or does. A man is as we think. She didn't even need to be in the delivery process of her little project. as soon as she was in the kitchen thinking through the ingredients, she didn't feel alone. And I just think, as a Christian, as a believer, for all of us, that we can think things. What can we do? What can we? How can we assist ourselves?
Yeah.
If we can learn from a 94-year-old lady who's able to tell us that it doesn't begin just when you connect; it begins when you think about connection. That really helped me.
That's really good. And just, you know, I think it's really important to say, for all of us, that we've got the ability to do that. You know, as simple as it is. And so for those of us who, you know, I don't want to, if you're doing well mentally and emotionally, then, you know, you should be that person, that strong tower. But also those of us who might be lonely, in that place, we've more empathy than we've ever had. If we're struggling mentally, we've more empathy for others who are. How can we do that practically, each and every one of us, within the restrictions and the guidelines and all that stuff? Yeah. What are some of the ways that you are seeing people actually do that and reach out to one another?
Yeah, I think I also talk about this, where there's kind of like three pillars of stability for wellness. Mental wellness is a part of it, but it's three pillars of stability that I regularly talk about, of which everything else is built upon, but it's really important. And we've got to think about it this way. First of all is our sleep patterns. Normally one of the biggest things that goes out of sync, I'm not sure for you, but certainly for me, as soon as you get to holidays, you know, go to bed late, get up late, and it becomes a nightmare. Your sleep routine, or sleep hygiene, as we would say, goes all over the place. But sleep is incredibly important. And if we're not getting that, we're out of sync, you know? So that's one of the first things. The second thing is our intake, food, nutrition, even water and rehydrating. I don't know about you, but over Christmas, nightmare. You know, you're just eating all the wrong things, or you're just doing the wrong things. But that, again, has such an impact on our wellness. You know, it's very difficult to think about getting up and having a walk or doing something kind of exciting or fun when you know you're eating the wrong stuff, or you're out of bed at lunchtime or something, you know. And then the final part of that is just general exercise. I have to force myself to exercise. As somebody who played rugby all my life, you'd think I'd be out there all the time. I don't. I have to kick myself out the door, or in truth, Maggie kicks me out the door, and we go for a walk. I've never come back from a walk feeling worse. I always feel better.
Yes.
We have the chats. It's great fun. I enjoy, obviously, the company, whoever I'm with, and we come back feeling better. They're the three pillars on which everything can then rest. So it's got to be those things first. If they're not in place, no matter what, you're wasting money going for therapeutic assistance, for starters, or even pastoral care. Get those things in place. Yeah. Help yourselves, if we can, to be able to get up and at it in life in that respect. And then we often talk about the kind of critical things you can add on top of that. So it's kind of like what I call the four aspects of self-help that will then assist me, because it's difficult in our loneliness, difficult in our anxieties, difficult in our low moods or our depressions. And that is coming back to the four basics that I was talking about. Go talk to someone. Mm-hmm. Don't be alone. If it has to be online, let it be online. But if even better, make it a walk outdoors, over 2 meters, keep the criteria, do all of what's important safety-wise, but connect with people.
Yeah.
Get out and talk. Talking isn't just a good idea. It's not just something that we like to do. It's where the human brain regulates. You know, God put us together to connect with people.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, it literally brings down our stresses and increases our moods. So talking, walking, exercise, best thing to do, talk and walk. Mm. Get out there and communicate and connect with people. It's also a great time for the fourth thing, which is reading. We've got a little bit of time to be able to do that. I often talk about this being from the point of view of we're used to reading now on screens.
Yeah.
And that produces more anxiety, because excess levels of cortisol as a result of being on screens all day are not good for us. So connecting by reading, the imagination of getting lost in a story, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, pick up your Bible, pick up anything to read. It's good for us to do that. And then the final part of the four that we rest on top of the three pillars is the creativity aspect. Mm. So I've seen more people doing wonderful things through COVID times, because of baking, perhaps, because of doing... I found myself taking out a jigsaw. I didn't complete it, mind you, but I took one out. And things like that are alerting all of the senses, bring down again our stress levels and increase our moods.
Yeah.
So those sort of things are things that we simply can do. I had one young man recently who... struggling with anxiety, and 15 or 16 years of age, and decided that as part of his, he loved baking at home, and as part of his keeping himself mentally well, he baked. And then he decided to bring that one step further, and he decided that he wanted to bake for people. So he started to deliver baking, doing gorgeous cupcakes and all sorts of other things with incredible designs, and decided to bring them to old folks' homes.
Right, yeah.
And as a part of his wellness, that was his giving.
Yeah.
And he said to me, this is only literally the other day, and it was brilliant, I love what he said, was he said, if I could bottle how I felt after I delivered those, he delivered them to 30 houses, if I could bottle that feeling of how I felt, he said, I'd keep it forever.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
So there's so much we actually can do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. Mm. Really is powerful. Mm. And you know, we were all so happy to see the back of 2020. Yeah. You know, you know, all of us in our pajamas on midnight. Some of us, I was in bed actually when the midnight struck of 2020, and yet entering into 2021 with yet more bad news. Mm. Another lockdown, this time feeling stricter, you know, it's winter, there's so many things going on. And you've mentioned so many just little practical golden nuggets there about mental health and well-being, and just those, even just laying out those seven things. But how do you, and this is what I find the struggle, because I can do all those things.
Yeah.
But how do you maintain that? Mm. So how do you maintain that self-talk, those disciplines, that, you know, the daily devotion? Because what I do, like most people, the first of the month or Monday morning, I'm going to start again. Come Wednesday, I fall off the bandwagon. It's just gone. Yeah. How do you build consistency with those things that you mentioned into our life, especially during this season?
Yeah, and I think that's really hard. I mean, look, it's January. So the normal in January anyway is to put in these resolutions of things where you go, I'm gonna go to the gym 3 days a week. And then by the first, you know, you've paid for the gym membership for the year. I think I worked that out a few years ago, and it was costing me roughly about 200 quid every visit to the gym, you know. the amount of times I went in the year. Look, we've got to go easy on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, this is the trouble I think that we do sometimes, is we start all or nothing. It's, I've got to be 100%, and if I'm not 100%, then I have failed. I think we've got to start this year, take our time, you know, do what we can do today rather than plan out all these different things that we're going to not do, or, you know, next week or the week after. So I'm a firm believer in start with something just now, you know, get up today and decide what it is that you're going to do today. And if today is a day where, you know what, I actually don't feel that way. If today's a day where Netflix gets it over going for a walk, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, tomorrow's coming. It's going to be all right. So I think in some ways it's to start with that in mind. I'm not a great one for any kind of resolutions like that. What I do love to do is to think at the beginning of the year, what's this year? If God's given me a message for this year, and I'll share 2020 with you from this, which was interesting when I look back on it. At the beginning of 2020, where I felt it was three words for me. And the first word was intentional. Mm. The second word was love. And the third word was peace. So they all had to be together, and I'll explain why. Because for me, it was, I'm actually going to be intentional about receiving and giving more love in my life. Mm. And I'm going to be intentional about finding more peace in my life. Mm. And that was my plan for 2020. I didn't know I was going to be locked up for 9 months of it now, don't get me wrong. But it was to be intentional about that. Yeah. So if I was speaking to people and saying, pick some words that you feel God puts in your heart that are words that they go on my phone in January, and I look at them all year. And then I look at them every day. If you look at your phone 20 times a day, you see them 20 times a day. Mm. They're on your screensaver, where you're saying to yourself, am I being intentional about this? Now, intentional might be starting off the year like that, where we're saying intentional, for instance, love might be, I'll phone mum and dad on the way home. Mm. Intentional might be, I'm going out for a walk, I'll bring the phone with me, and rather than listen to a podcast or just listen to music, and that's okay if you want to, I'll make a couple of phone calls to folk I haven't spoken to in a while. I know somebody's not doing so good, I'll give them a buzz and I'm guilty of this. In the profession that I work in, sometimes when I come home, I'm tired or I'm weary. And if I'm intentional in reaching out to somebody, I'm more likely to do that on a phone call going for a walk than I am sitting in my bedroom.
Yeah.
So trying to do things that are, cut ourselves some slack to start with. Mm. And I love the word intentional. I lived by it in 2020. And heading into 2021, just picking a few other words that you're sort of going, what are they for me this year?
Yeah.
What's God saying to me this year that I can put on my screensaver and live by? And go easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's not starting like the gym in January. It's looking ahead for the entire year. I like to think about it from the point of view of being in December, looking back over the year to say, did I do more of that? Was I intentional? Did I reach out, connect more in love? Did I have more peace in my world in 2020? And I think they're really good starts for 2021.
Very good. That's fantastic. You know, my word for the year is release.
Yeah.
Because I've tried to control And, you know, I listened to a podcast recently. It said that what this season has shown us is that what are positive and negative things, it's all been just illuminated and blown apart. So if you're someone who likes to control, you want to control even more. And when you're trying to navigate an uncertainty, you just want to, you want to control that.
Yep.
And so for me, God's word is just is release.
Yep.
And one of the things I'm releasing is goals, because I'm like that. I set out goals. I got my goals for this year, for and my goals this year is just enjoy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Be present.
Yeah.
Have fun. Enjoy. Mm. And I think like what you just said there is taking that pressure off yourself in this season. Doesn't mean like every year, you know, it's just have fun, relax, unwind, wear the pajamas, sit at home, you know, whatever. But I do think it's about having a word for the season and being intentional with that and taking the pressure off ourselves, but actually being realistic in what we're setting up for ourselves. Yeah. And so, you know, just to go back then to people who are struggling right now, I'm really aware there's so many people watching, listening, just suffering.
Yeah.
And one of the things we've noticed as pastors, we're doing online church every single week since March, and every week we say, if you're struggling practically, mentally, emotionally, reach out, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen an influx of people. Well, of course, we've seen people. We haven't seen so many people that we know are struggling. And many might say, you know, many might be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might say, you know, I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
Or others might say, others are worse than me. You know, we're so good at Irish people, especially, you know, I let someone else, you know, have that space and have the time.
Yeah.
How would you encourage someone right now who is struggling to reach out and to make that phone call, maybe not to connect with someone, but to actually say, I need help?
Yeah.
How would you encourage someone?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think we are slow to do that. I think as a nation, we're slow to do that. And I think it's really important that we try and get rid of that stigma, because it's okay. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not feel okay. But most importantly, it is okay to ask for help. And I think the beginning of that starts with, it's a little bit like, you know, if you're arriving in A&E and you have a sore toe and the person beside you has a broken leg, you're kind of going to walk out and go, listen, you know, I don't deserve to be here.
Yeah.
We want everyone, whether it's a sore toe or a broken leg, we want everyone to communicate when you're not feeling good. And everyone is as relevant as the next person. Everyone needs care and love. So for us, I also want to get rid of the stigma of what is that connection of therapy or asking to connect with somebody. I mean, where we come from, and you were very kindly saying at the beginning there that there's something different about the way we try to do things. Literally what we're trying to do is reach out with love. Mm-hmm. Now, within the therapeutic world, if you said that into certain areas, they'd go, well, you know, come on, be careful there. You can't love your clients. You know, it's not how you do business. I struggle with that because I do. And that's how I operate. And that's how we all operate within the work that we connect with in Zest Life. We believe God's given us a heart to reach people and to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important for people to know that when you come to, it's not the old traditional come to therapy, walk into a clinic and wait there till your name's called out and then you wander in. And,
yeah,
and
in front of everyone, which is even more embarrassing.
Even more embarrassing. Yeah. It's not that. It is literally almost like we're doing here, where you're connecting with someone over a cup of coffee. You know, I joke about it, but when you come into our place, you don't just get marshmallows, you get big and small marshmallows in your hot chocolate, because that's important, my kids tell me. You know, the little ones fall in between the big ones and it fills it all up nicely. It's the desire for me is that you feel like you're walking into your grandmother's kitchen, not like you're walking into a clinical atmosphere. And it's our job in therapists, or it's our job as people who have love in our hearts to connect with people in that way. So all we're trying to do is to connect with people and show them love, care, to be able to reach out to them when they're struggling. There may be some advice that we can give that will help them in their journey, but really it's all about connection.
Yeah.
And for us, why would anybody not want to try and connect? I think it's so terribly important. And Sean, more than ever now, it's so incredibly important. So my message to people in general would be to reach out to family, to friends, for sure.
Yeah.
But if you are struggling and it's anxiety or it's lonely depression for an extended period of time, please don't struggle with that on your own. You know, we have, there's lots of help that's available there through the church, through therapeutics, to be able to assist and connect.
That's great. And so as we continue to face uncertainty, not knowing the timeline of this pandemic, you know, not knowing when it's going to be, What are some of the ways that you would encourage people, just in their thinking and their speech, you know, in our overall perspective and our outlook? You know, one thing you said to me that really struck me when we spoke this week was the narrative of scaremongering, instilling fear in people, and that we start thinking about that, we start speaking that. How would you encourage us to change our thinking, change our speech?
I think it's really important. I think I was driving a couple of nights ago and I happened to have the news on at the time, and the delivery of communication on the news was such that the newscaster's voice was speaking very quickly. They had raised their tone. It was like almost, here's the numbers, wait till you see. I was feeling it listening to this on the radio, and I turned it off. I think that's what we're hearing. Now, we're not diminishing, please, anybody listen to this, we're not diminishing the significance of the pandemic. We're not diminishing the upset and the turmoil that families are going through. Not at all. We absolutely understand it's terribly difficult for people. However, with anxiety or with lonely depression or with areas that we're struggling with, some of the times the best thing we can do is turn off the news. Stay with the important things like our physical distancing, like our you know, our washing our hands, our cleansing, all the things that we know we should do and we must do. And it's important that we do those things. But let's stay away from the delivery of fear. We were not born to live in fear. We're born to live in love. And it's very difficult to reach out, connect, to assist other people who may be struggling when really we're afraid to put our nose outside of our door. Again, I'm not coming back, I'm coming back to, we've got to be careful, we've got to be sensible. But Sean, we can connect, and we can socially connect. It doesn't have to be within 2 meters distancing, and it certainly it can't be under guidelines in the various ways that we can go to people's houses. But we can connect with people online, we can connect with people in parks, we can do things about this. And I think it's a really important time that we don't lose sight of that. Our rhetoric, our communication, our conversation piece, let's talk about other things other than just COVID. Let's talk about some of the incredible people, like some of the stories that we're talking about tonight. Let's communicate to each other. Did you hear about I heard about an amazing woman, you know, talking about my friend who's 94 years of age, talking about the 16-year-old I just spoke about. Communicate stories, communicate wonderful news. There is great news out there. There's excitement out there. There's opportunity out there. And we're not talking about it because we're caught up in the fear. And again, please don't think that I'm taking away from that because it's so important. But we actually have hearts that are bursting with love and are dying to connect with people. And we're holding them back sometimes in fear.
And I actually think it's very, it's not great to talk about it in terms of a year. 2020 was a bad year. 2021, will it be a good year, bad year? It's like, to think like that is to set yourself up for failure. You know, it might be some bad moments within it, but we need to take every day as it comes and be hopeful and look for the opportunities and speak about the good things and to see the good. And you know what? Every year is full of bad and good.
For sure.
It's not about, you know, it's not about, our lives are based on that. But it's actually having that hopeful vision, hopeful perspective. And I think that's really important. And I love that. And so as we finish, there is some people right now who are watching and listening crippled with anxiety, with fear, worry, depression, and just feeling like at the end of themselves. How would you encourage them right now in this moment today? How would you encourage them in that?
I think one of the first things is if that's what you're feeling now when you're listening to this, don't wait till tomorrow. As soon as this finishes and you have time to think and time to take some sort of small action, take it now. When this finishes, pick up a phone and phone a friend. Make a contact, make a connection, tell somebody how you're feeling. Do not be on your own with this. Small things can make a massive difference. And sometimes if it's just reaching out to somebody who you're saying, do you know what, I need you to know this, please, can you help? Or if it's reaching out and phoning into one of the therapeutic lines like ourselves, pick up the phone and make that call. Because there's somebody on the other end who wants to help. And there's somebody on the other end who is just really, really looking forward to spending time with you if you make that call. And it's going to be a call that you're going to be glad you made once you've made it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And look, we want to encourage everyone who is watching and listening. You know, one of the things that Stewie has said before that really resonates with me is it's okay not to be okay, but don't stay that way.
That's right.
And as you've just heard, we've got Zest Life, a large organization with many trained counselors. We've got our own church and our pastors and leaders and just volunteers who are ready to help To be on the other end of the phone, to be on the other end of a table with a cup of coffee, to hear, to talk. And it might just be as simple as a chat. It mightn't be as a need to go into in depth into your whole life, but just to let that weight off your shoulders and off your heart. So let us be that person that you need for you. Do not struggle alone. Do not go through this alone. And so one of the ways that you can reach out right now is go to openarms.ie/connect. There you'll see a very simple form. Just fill out your details, and in that you'll see a box being able to just write down a little bit of information. Just say what your need is, and we will contact you, get through with you through email or text this week, and we'll set you up and hook you up with exactly what you need in this moment. So please don't go through this alone. And so, Stewie, thank you so much for speaking to us and speaking into our life. And I just want to ask you, would you just pray for us, pray for everyone today as we finish up?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, we're just so grateful for this time together. Thank you for your heart for us and all you do for us. And Lord, I'm so grateful for Open Arms and for all the pastoral care team that are here, and for all the people, Lord, who we can reach out to in so many ways to receive love and prayer and contact, Lord. So Lord, I just pray for everyone who's watching today and listening in. I just pray, Lord, that you will put it on their hearts to maybe be somebody who will reach out to somebody else. Maybe it'll be somebody who's able to come alongside someone else. Or maybe that person, Lord, is struggling right now and is wondering, can I be brave enough to pick up the phone right now and make that call, just as Sean has said. So Lord, I pray that time will be now. I pray that you will give them a peace in their hearts, that decision they're making for the beginning of January 2021 is a good decision, Lord. And Lord, I do pray that the time ahead, that we will be able to focus on some of the things we've talked about tonight, like even tuning in to Open Arms every week, where we know our spirits will be lifted and God can speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you will give us a heart to reach out and to connect with people. I pray that you will give us a vision and a foresight right into 2021, Lord, to make this, Lord, a great year. And Lord, I pray it'll be a year that we will look back on at the end of this year, Lord, into December, and look back and go, that was an incredible year for us. Mm-hmm. So Lord, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for your heart for us. And Lord, we ask you to look after us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So Open Arms, we love you. We're praying for you and thinking of you. And we pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.